God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed.
Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. Father, I'm so thankful for all that you're doing in this body of believers. And Lord, I pray that each one of us this morning would see that you have a purpose for us, that you have a plan for our life, that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened, Lord, to go out and do your will. Father, may you speak to every heart now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It just seems quiet this morning. I don't know. I mean, I know it's supposed to be quiet right now, but it just seems really quiet this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear down and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." So I've been just thinking a lot about where we're at in our lives, what's going on in our lives, what's going on in your life, what's going on in my life. And you know, it's funny how life goes, how quickly it seems like life goes. I can't believe it's December today. We're almost to Christmas. We just had Thanksgiving, and it seems like, wow, we were just at Thanksgiving and Christmas last year, you know. And but I was thinking, you know, too, as we were just singing and worshiping and about how moments in time that stand out, you know, that every day doesn't really stand out. But there's moments that do, and it's funny when we were at our Thanksgiving last night and we're playing games, and one of the guys there, he wasn't very good at the game we were playing, and we all, our mind went back to Ed, and I don't know how many of y'all remember Ed Bias, but our Christmas party, one of the very first Christmas parties when I was a preacher here that we had, and Ed was playing the same game. And it was the funniest thing ever. And we laughed so hard that night at Ed. And it was all in good fun. We weren't laughing at Ed. Ed's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he didn't understand the concept of the game. And he kept messing up. And we just all got so tickled. But you know, a lot of Christmas parties we've had since then, I don't really remember. You know, they come and they go, but there's certain moments and there's certain times, like, just like the sermon, I was thinking, okay, most of y'all probably don't remember every sermon I've preached this year. I don't remember every sermon I've preached this year. Most of y'all would probably do good to even remember 2 weeks ago. Last week, hopefully you remember, is about being thankful, Thanksgiving, and all that. Hopefully you can at least remember that. But now, let's say I tripped and fell off stage. You guys would probably remember that, wouldn't you? And a couple years from now, everybody'd go, "Do you remember the time Pete tripped and fell?" And you'd all start laughing and everything. Because there's moments that stand out. And as we're reading this, that there's a time for everything. And I've just been thinking, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for your life today. And for my life today, we're alive. We have breath in our lungs today because God has something in store for us. And so we can look at there's a time for everything, and there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, there's scattering, there's gathering, there's all these different things and that we go through in life. But we can We can rest assured that whether we're in a time of weeping or a time of laughter, a time of scattering or a time of gathering, that if there's breath in our lungs, God has a purpose for you this morning. God has a plan for you this morning. We're going to go to Esther now, chapter 4, and I'm only going to read a few verses here. And I'm just going to be jumping around a lot, so y'all can follow me if you want, or you can just listen. But Esther chapter 4, verse 12, and many of you know the story of Esther. Haman was plotting to destroy all the Jews, okay? And so here we're going to pick up in Esther 4, verse 12, and it says, "When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. She was scared to approach the king, because if she approached the king without his consent, she could be put to death unless he reached out his golden scepter. So anyway, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this." And so you might be sitting there going, "What's this have to do with me coming to a royal position? I'm a little nobody. I don't have royalty in my blood. I'm just a average everyday worker." But now if you're a child of God, you do have royalty in your blood. You're a child of the King of Kings. And who knows, but for such a time as this, that you're here this morning. I don't believe any of you are here by accident this morning. I don't believe that any of you may have come for another routine service, another thing, but you're here for a purpose. And where you're at in your lives, God has a purpose for you this morning. And I think that all of us, we need to get the heart and the mindset that for such a time as this, I was placed in December 1st, 2019, I was placed in this place. And when I leave here and I go home, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And when I go to work tomorrow, I'm where I'm supposed to be. That God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And some of you might say, "Pete, I don't know what God's purpose, I don't know what God's plan is for my life." I want you to think about these next few verses that Esther says. If you don't know what your purpose, what God's plan is for your life, verse 15, "Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, 'Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.'" Can I tell you something? I think many of us, we don't realize the purpose and the plan God has for our lives because we're not spending enough time with God. Fasting, praying, seeking the Lord. If you're lost this morning and you say, "Pete, I feel like I have no purpose. I feel like my life, I'm just going from week to week, from time to time." Maybe today would be a good day to get on your knees and begin to pray. Maybe today would be a good day to begin to fast and begin to ask God, "God, what do you have for me? God, what would you like me to do? God, my life I know belongs to you. Where would you have me go?" You know, there's many people in the church today that feel like they have no purpose, that they feel like they have no meaning, that they feel like they can't contribute anything. And my question to them would be this morning is, when was the last time you got down on your knees and prayed? When was the last time you truly fasted and sought God? We don't know what our purpose is. I think it's because we've been hearing from the world and blinded by the things of the enemy that God can't get through to us to tell us what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing it and when we're supposed to be doing it. But she asked everybody, fast and pray. You know, I've been thinking, we usually get real busy, But for many of you that's gone here for years, you know that we usually do a 21-day fast in January. In the last couple of years, we've been so busy with Christmas parties and different things coming up. It's like it's time to fast, and nobody's really stopped and even prayed and asked God and sought the Lord. And we hadn't really thought about it, and we just begin to fast, and then we fast for 21 days, and okay, we got our fast done, and we're good to go. This isn't the sermon, but a side note. Maybe begin to pray right now. Begin to fast right now and don't wait for our 21-day fast in January to begin to pray right now and ask God, God, what would you have me do? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You know, if you go to work, isn't there usually something to do at your job? You know, Keaton started a new job this last week, and they told him there's three rules, and I don't know if I'm going to say this right or not. They told him there's three rules. Said that if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. Said that if you think there's nothing to do, you're wrong. And if you don't know, ask. I thought, that's pretty good rules. And if you think there's nothing to do, you're wrong. That really stood out to me, because right now you may be thinking, there's nothing I can do. You're wrong. There's always something to do for the kingdom of God. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life today. And many of us will kick back and we just say, well, I can't sing. I can't play the guitar. I'm too shy to get up and speak. What good am I? God created you and formed you just the way you are for a purpose, for a plan, and for a work, good works, which God prepared in advance. You might be saying, oh, Pete, I'm too young. Jeremiah 1. If you want to open up to Jeremiah 1, I'm going to be reading quite a few verses in Jeremiah 1. You know, this morning you might be saying, what good am I? I'm too young. Well, you're never too young for what God has planned for you. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." I don't know if we have a prophet to the nations in this room. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't know. But I do know that God knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He created you. Verse 6 says, "O sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." This morning, you may be sitting there going, I wouldn't know what to say, how to say it. You know, this week I was eating with someone and they said something and the Holy Spirit like jumped in my heart. And then the conversation went on and I went, I missed the opportunity. I missed the opportunity to bring glory to God because I was too focused on other stuff. And it's like, then the time passed and it's like, how do I bring the conversation back around? I missed my chance for that moment. For such a time as this, God has placed us in every circumstance, in every situation that we are, to bring glory and honor to God. We say, oh, I don't know how to speak. I don't know what to say. But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." You might say, wow, that's huge. I don't have that type of impact. But but you don't know what type of impact you can have in the people in your small circle of friends and your small circle of coworkers and the people that you minister to here at church or if you've gone to a soup kitchen and passed out dinners or whatever. You don't know the impact that you can have when we're listening and obeying the voice of God. See, that's key, listening and obeying to what the Lord says. You jump down to verse 17, and he says, "Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." You know, sometimes it can be terrifying living out our purpose. Sometimes even speaking to a coworker and figuring out the right words to say can be terrifying. But if we're listening to God, y'all, if we're listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking inside of us, we don't have to be afraid. And when it seems like the world's coming against us, God is with us, and He can and He will rescue us. Are we giving God a place in our hearts to do His will today? Are we seeking Him with all of our hearts? Are we fasting? Are we praying? Do we see that for such a time as this, we have a purpose? We have that God has a plan for our life right now in this moment. You might say, "Well, Pete, you was just talking to all the young people. Well, what about us old people?" Luke 1, verse 5. I was thinking of an old country song this week. I don't know why I was thinking of the song, but I'm too old to die young, and I thought, I'm almost there. Too old to die young. I don't know. I'm getting there, but if you're an older person in here, and you might say, "Well, what good use am I? What can God do with me?" Luke chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "In the time of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly." Can I tell you something? It's key. It's key for us to be upright, to be righteous. If we want to be used of God, I believe that that's a key component when God's looking down and looking for people to use. He's looking for people that desire to be His children, to be in His presence, okay? To seek Him. And that's what these two were. In verse 7 it says, "But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years." Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing in the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." You know, sometimes in our life we may have lived 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And we can say, look back and it's all just kind of a blur. There's not too many moments that stand out. And there may be not too many moments that stand out that you've done much for the kingdom of God. It's not too late. It's not too late, y'all. It's not too late because God has a purpose and a plan for us. And here, his prayer was going to be answered, that even though they were well along in years, that his wife was going to be with child. What an amazing thing. Verse 16. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, when I read this and I think John the Baptist, we know what his purpose and plan is now. We can look back and see. But y'all, our story is not done being written. Okay? And so where you are right now, you may not think anything's gone, but you may be preparing the hearts for the next guy, for the next woman, for the next person coming. In your workplace, in your homes, you may be preparing the hearts for something more to come, but we have to live with a sense of purpose. Is everybody's belly so full of turkey this morning that everybody's asleep? Or is anybody getting this morning? God has a purpose for you and for me. And we may just be the ones going in to prepare. We may be the ones that come in and get to reap of harvest of what others have already done. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." You know, that might be you sitting there this morning going, "I have no skills. I'm shy. I'm backwards. I'm old. I'm young." Whatever your excuse is, many of us have an excuse. We're full of excuses. Verse 19, the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my word, which will come true at their proper time." Time. There's a time for everything. Okay? And maybe your moment of greatness might not come this week, this month, a year from now. But are you seeking the Lord? Are you listening to His voice? So at the proper time, you will be available. You will know His voice, so you won't miss an opportunity. So you'll be prepared. Does that make sense, y'all? So when that moment comes, you won't be like me last week. And the conversation kept going. And all at once, I'm going, "Oh, I missed the opportunity to keep my mind prepared, to keep my heart prepared, knowing that I have a plan and I have a purpose." You know, at work, most of y'all's already heard all my stories, but I have to keep moving. Okay, that's part of my job, is to keep moving. And one time, a salesman rode with me, and he said, "Pete," he said, "you're not taking enough time with the customers. You're almost going too fast." And I said, "Well," I said, "you don't realize while I'm working, I'm visiting and I'm learning things." And the place that we left, I said, "So that guy driving the forklift, he's gone back to college and his kid, his 8 years old, got in his car and put the car in neutral and it rolled out in the middle of the road." And I started telling him all these stories about all these people that I delivered to. And I said, "I do visit with them, but I don't stop and go, 'How's it going?' I'm working because I have a purpose. And my purpose is to get my packages delivered and get going. But there's always something in mind. I'm working." Does that make sense? And so what I'm trying to say is that we can be working and doing, but have a sense of purpose for the kingdom of God. And be mindful that we're always at work for our Heavenly Father. And sometimes I lose that. Sometimes I miss that. And I miss those opportunities because I'm busy doing other things, and I forget that at the proper time, at any moment, God might need me to do something, to say something, to intervene. Verse 21, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was complete, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. God had a purpose and a plan. And John the Baptist had a purpose and a plan. And that's really where my mind was going for the sermon, and as I got to studying and everything, and this is where it went to, was all the preparation that came before, but the promise that God was going to use His people at the proper time. And the promise for you and me today is that God is going to use us, that we have a purpose. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That probably didn't come out very clear, but to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. God can do more than we can even imagine with our lives if we would give Him our lives fully. If we quit holding back, if we quit saying, well, God, you can have Sunday mornings, and I'll even give you Sunday nights sometimes, but forget about Wednesdays, forget about Monday through Friday. For God, you can have my morning 10-minute devotional, but you're not taking away Monday night football. You're not getting into my Grey's Anatomy or whatever it is people watch all the time. You're not getting into my Days of Our Lives. You know, that's mine. I'm not saying that you have to give all that up. But what I'm saying is there part of your life that you haven't given God? So, is there part of your life that you're holding back? If you are, you may be missing out on what He can do more than we can even imagine. Even greater things than you can even imagine. Y'all, when I look at my life, there's worldly things that I've not accomplished. But if I stop and am really thankful and get the right heart and get the right attitude, I can't even imagine how awesome and all the wonderful things my Lord has done for me. And how He's worked in my life. How I see His purpose and plan coming to pass. When I was a little boy, I had these little Golden Eagle semi-trucks. And all I ever wanted to do was play with my Hot Wheels cars and my semi-trucks. And I used to always tell my Grandma Rose that lived in Michigan, when I grow up, Grandma, I'm going to come get you in my semi and your rocking chair, and I'll bring you back to Arkansas. And I wanted to be a truck driver ever since I was little. I'm a truck driver. You might say, Pete, that's so dumb. No, I always wanted to do it. I always wanted a swimming pool. Got a swimming pool. Now I think, why did I want a swimming pool? All the work. But y'all, I have to tell you, I see in my life parts that I still have not sold out fully. And I think, man, if I would just let go, and truly give God everything, what could He do? How blessed I already am. Think of how much more blessed I could be if I would just step back and give God everything, because He is able. And He's able with your life this morning, whether you're old, whether you're young. God has a purpose. God has a plan. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." God can meet our needs. Wherever you're lacking, whether it's in the way that you talk, and or in your shyness or in your arrogance or whatever, God can take and transform you into being the person that He wants you to be. 2 Chronicles 6:19 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." And then the verse goes on to talk about Asa, I think, but what I wanted to read from that is, the eyes of the Lord are ranging throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. I want y'all to think about that this morning. Maybe just, everybody close their eyes for just a minute. Just close your eyes. Don't do this very much. Just close your eyes. And I want you to think of God's up in heaven right now. And He's searching. And His eyes have just come across Coop Prairie. Could He say, "Wow, look at my servants down there. Their hearts are fully committed. Look at this one. I'm not going to call you out by name. Look at that one. Look at this one. Oh, but that one." If He only knew, if she only knew what's in store, if they would just sell out. If they would just fully commit. Y'all can open your eyes now, but I would like you to think about that. That God's eyes are roaming throughout the earth. He's looking for you this morning. He's looking for me. He's looking for someone that would sell out completely and totally to Him. Last verses here, 1 Peter 1:13-16. It says, "Therefore prepare your minds for action." Any of you, when you're on vacation, you prepare your minds for nothing? I do. You know, I don't want to do nothing. I'm on vacation. Don't leave me alone. Let me rest. Let me, you know, I don't want to do anything. And that lasts about a day. And then I'm usually ready to get up and start doing something again. Well, many of us, it's easy to prepare our minds to do nothing. I'm going to, you know, play cards or play games or watch movies or whatever. But He's saying here, prepare your minds for action. See, we have to get the right mindset. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for me. And then to be self-controlled. We won't talk too much about that after Thanksgiving, but self-controlled in every area. Can you turn off the TV? Can you set aside the pumpkin pie? Can you, you know, not play your video games? Not whatever it is. Can you be self-controlled to set aside time for God? It says, "Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" As we're preparing for the next week's Christmas, our minds are going to be busy with everything going on. We've got stuff going on here at church. I'm already, you know, thinking about our Christmas party and games to play, and we're preparing, and maybe you're preparing for your end of year stuff, and some of you with your finances, and maybe you're having to get stuff together for your taxes, or you're preparing to buy Christmas gifts, or whatever you're preparing for. I would challenge you to stay focused in everything, to most of all be prepared to be useful to our Lord and Savior. To understand you have a purpose. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for what You're doing in the hearts and lives of each and every one of us. I pray this morning if there's any in here that don't know that You have a plan for their lives, that they'd understand that right now. And maybe if there's any in here, Father, that don't know what their purpose, what their plan is, that they would begin to take it's serious, Lord, that they would begin to pray, that they would begin to fast, that they would begin to open up their Bible and seek You like they never have before, that they would understand the importance of hearing Your voice and listening and following through with what You have for each and every one of us to do. Father, I pray that You'd give us strength for those that are already working and serving and know what You have set before us, that we wouldn't grow weary, that we would continue on and knowing that You're there to strengthen us, that You won't fail us. But Father, I pray that each and every one of us would walk each and every day knowing that we were created to do good works for You, knowing that You have a plan for our life, and that we would truly seek You with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Father, I pray for encouragement this morning. And that Your Holy Spirit would lead us each and every day. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. I encourage you to just pray. And think about the Lord looking down right now upon us. And know that You know whether your heart's right. You know if there's something in your life that you need to get rid of. You know if there's areas in your life that you've kept hidden that you need to repent of. And maybe you've repented and you just feel like you haven't heard God's voice in a while. Maybe now just begin to cry out to Him. Altars are open if you need prayer. Have any of you ever had a close call, like car accident or shot or something like that? Has anybody ever had a close call and you like wonder, wow, I'm still here? I remember when I worked at UPS and there was a guy and he was something else. And one morning he come in, he was kind of shaking, and he was underneath the Phoenix Avenue bridge, where Phoenix Avenue, like by Best Buy and all that, and a car come flying around that corner and slid sideways and then caught just in time to keep from hitting head on, and it scared him so bad. He said, my life, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to quit living the way that I'm living. God must have a plan for me, and I'm changing. Lasted a few weeks, and he was right back to everything that he was doing. And I don't know how many of y'all know, but Bridget and Kimberly, and who else was in the car with y'all? Abby and Danielle. They were in an accident last week. You guys should see the pictures. God still got a plan for them. They weren't hurt, but it could have been so different. And y'all, sometimes in those moments of an accident or a close call or something like that, and all at once reality sinks in, life may not go on forever. But God must have a plan for me if I'm still here. And can I tell you this morning, God has a plan for you because you're here. God loves you. And He has something so wonderful in store for each and every one of us. Let's seek Him. Let's give Him our lives. And let's see what He can do with them. I know what I do with my life. I mess it up. But when I listen to God, wow. Look what the Lord can do. No service tonight. We'll be back normal schedule Wednesday night. Y'all have a blessed afternoon, a blessed week.